What's up, listeners? This is DJ Chill Status here. We Two Peas. Got special guest D. LaBrie. What's going on, D. LaBrie?
Man, good night. Good week. You know, just coming off the birthday party yesterday. Trying to regroup. Trying to, catch up on some rest and recuperate a little bit.
Okay. Well,
yeah.
So you say birthday party. So were there any performances or anything going on like that?
Yeah, you know, me and DJ Lex, Souls of Mischief DJ, we got the monthly at Legionnaire wax tripping. So this month, you know, they decided to throw me a party, a little birthday party. It's an early party because my birthday is the end of the month. But, you know, it's a good little kickoff, pre-party. I got a few more coming up. So, yeah, it was cool, man. I had my homies come out from Idaho, the Freedom Renegades, and then my homegirl Gypsy Love rocked it. The homie from the Bronx came out, Imperial Brothers. My folks Doc's Black from San Jose, he came through and ripped it. You know, the crew, RDV, 3HD came through, Max D's, Madman, different dope music, they slid through. So it was dope, man. It was nice. It was a nice little event. You know, it's always good to see the homies in the hometown and, like, you know, have family come through and get to see everybody, bring everybody out. Because I be doing a lot of shows on the road and, you know, even, like, outskirts cities like Santa Cruz and Nevada City, you know, San Jose even, like, my Oakland fam sometimes, they're like, man, I ain't going way out there. So, you know, when I have something in Oakland, they always want to come out and support and catch up. So, you know, it's like a big reunion. It was a lot of fun, man. We went, and then afterwards, we went to the after party. The homie Picasso from the Living Legends, he got a little lounge in West Oakland. And it's plush, man. It's like Okanda up in there. He got the African decorations, and he be having, like, bands come through and do, like, you know, like sets. Smooth, you know, grown and sexy sets, you know, R&B, and, you know, just a good vibe. So we went there for the after party. And so it was nice. It was good.
So, you know, you spoke on doing shows. And not too long ago, you were, like, out of state and actually out of the country performing and, like, on a tour.
Yeah.
Tell people about that.
Well, you know, I was born out here in the Bay and born in Oakland. And at some point when things started kicking off for me, when I joined this group called Death Organization, now known as What's in Eminem, I moved to San Jose. And that's when, you know, a lot of things started happening. A lot of things started popping off. I started dropping albums and, you know, things start catching on. So I pretty much been touring ever since, like since the early 2000s, you know. I spent probably my first 19, 20 years just around Oakland and around the East Bay and around the Bay Area, just getting to know the area. Like, my mom didn't have a car, so pretty much my travel limits was the BART and to where the, you know, the bus could take you from BART. So I explored all around and, you know, I went to different schools in Oakland, so I kind of had new people in different parts. And you know, my mom's from Frisco, so I had the Frisco connections and then San Jose. So after a while, once the music started, you know, taking off, the internet started popping off, you know, I started getting to hit the road and, you know, start seeing the country. And eventually, you know, that led me overseas. So, yeah, it's one of my favorite aspects of being an artist is traveling. I used to always, like, read books on different places and monuments, like, you know, like the Eiffel Tower and, like, you know, Statue of Liberty. And I'd be like, one day I'm gonna go to these places. So hip hop is taking me there, you know. Hip hop activism is taking me around the world. So yeah, it's been a blessing, you know. A lot of places I consider like a second home, you know. This year, you know, I've been to, you know, I had a little run in Vegas, LA. You know, I spent most of this summer in New England, you know, Boston, all the small states out there. You know, we toured through Maine, Vermont, New Hampshire, oh man, all over Massachusetts, you know, man, it was lovely. And I've been out there before, so it was like, you know, I saw a lot of fam and reconnected with a lot of people. You know, it's just love to still have people supporting you for so long and be able to go different places. That's the number one thing I tell artists, you know, push the boundaries, hit the road, go different places. And you know, even when you go just on vacation or whatnot, you know, be an artist everywhere you go. Bring your music, bring your merch, you know, hit up a few people online before you hit the road, or, you know, go to Jamaica, go, you know what I'm saying, tap in with some people. You might get a show or, like, you know, get invited to a party or something, you know, meet a DJ. But, yeah, you know, so it's been lovely. I got to – also, we slid through part of New York State on the road. It's actually really close to the border of Vermont. So, yeah, it was a nice run. So, you know, I'm back now. We got the monthly in Oakland. And then I'm prepping for another tour in Asia this December. You know, I'm going to be hitting China, Japan, Korea. And then once I get out there, you know, other things pop up. So I might hit a few other spots. But, yeah, it's been great. I've been going out to Asia since, like, 2002, I would say. And I actually dropped my first album in Japan before it even came out in America, my first solo album. So I've been going out there back and forth for years, and, you know, just building a network, and you know, just learning a lot about different cultures, and, you know, it's inspiring. It's definitely a good feeling. You know, I would always recommend to people to travel, go abroad, go to different countries, go everywhere, even like the small towns in America that people might not think have hip hop fans, man. You'd be surprised, man. It's a lot of love. Like Jackson Hole, Wyoming, Flagstaff, Arizona, college towns, Bennington in Vermont. Man, all these little like towns people may not associate with hip hop, they got a lot of love for hip hop. They all got, you know, monthlies and radio shows and hip hop fans, upcoming local artists, producers, you know. So, you know, when you're on the road, you're doing them big cities, make sure you stop in them towns in the middle, you know, check it out, see who's around, you know, drop some merch off, sell some CDs, something, you know.
Yeah, it's always good. I see how in the game, you know, cats talking about checking in, you know.
Right.
And, you know, cats like, oh, I don't need to check in or whatever. It seems like, you know, if you're checking in, it means you're finna come out there and perform or something to get money.
Right.
So you got to tap in with somebody out there. Like, right. If an artist from somewhere else was coming out here and, you know, wanted to do a show or was doing a show, he definitely had to tap in with an artist out here.
Right, right. You or know, somebody, you know, artist or promoter, or, you know, somebody in the business, or even family that you know that's tied in, or, you know, street connections. It could be a lot of different people that you don't expect that can be your plug for an area, or that can show you around or introduce you to the right people. The main thing is you gotta look at things with an open mind, you know, like you can't just go everywhere and expect to be on some rap star shit. You gotta be humble and, like, you know, sometimes just going to see places and just hanging out downtown by yourself and just, like, going to see the different spots. And, you know, you run into people like that, and, like, you know, make yourself part of the community. Like, don't just think of your home as the only place you got to respect. Like, it's a lot of things going on, and you got to be a student of the whole world. I call myself a world citizen. So, like, as far as the checking in thing, you know, I think the way that's often talked about in hip hop or the streets, it's usually like more like in a street sense of, like, if you on that level, like where you really, you know, you with the shit, you might, like, people might say, you know, if you go to certain areas, you need to tap in with the right people for protection or just to make sure you good. But on a lighter level, if it ain't on no street shit where you know, you got problems like that, need protection, or you mega rich, you rolling around with with platinum chains on and da da da. I mean, sometimes it's not that deep. It's just, you know, I go to LA, I hit my cousin, and or I, you know, I hit my homie that rap out there, or, you know, I might call the homie from Jurassic 5, or, you know, tap in with other artists I know, and you know, just make moves. Or, like, you know, they might say, hey, we going to this industry party tonight, you want to roll with us, or you know, whatever. So it ain't always on some street shit. Like, I got square homies in college or that work in marketing or something who I might check in with, you know what I'm saying? Any place I tour or travel, I'm going to tap in long before I go there and let people know I'm on the way, or, you know, it might be getting posted online and they see it and they're like, oh, you out here? Holler at me, you know what I'm saying? Come through. We'll show you where, you know, good places to eat, you know, places where you can leave your merchandise, or, like, places where it's popping, or, you know, places where it ain't cool, or where you might want to, you know, be a little more cautious. So it's valuable to always have your mind open and see everything, like, as something special. Don't just be like, you know, only when you go to the club, or only when you VIP, or sometimes it's the humble moments that's like, one time I was in Korea just going to a, like, they got these, like, parks where they have, like, the ancient villages where they show how Koreans used to live. It's like an amusement park, and, like, kids go there on field trips. And I went there, and I just happened to have a bunch of CDs on me and flyers, and kids was, like, lining up to get autographs and following me around the park. And I ended up meeting a DJ there that I still work with to this day, and he was just there on a family trip. So you got to, you know, like, I always feel like you got to always be in grind mode. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't go nowhere. I don't even go on vacation. I don't believe in vacation. Like, even if I go to the, you know, if I go to, say, Hawaii and I'm chilling, like, you know, I might not have a show set up, but by the time I get there, you know, I'm definitely going to have merchandise on me, and, like, I probably will end up doing something music-related while I'm there. Or, you know, I'm going to definitely be tapping in and chopping it up, even when I'm on leisure time. So, you know, you got to mix your work and play and make it one. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Ain't no days off.
Yeah, having the merchandise is definitely a plus when you're out of town, because you can be like, oh, I rap or I do this, and, you know, some of them just scan you, look you up and down, like, yeah, oh yeah, for real, oh okay, you know what I'm saying, you got a CD, you got some, you ain't got nothing, then, you know, it just all talk, you know?
Yeah, you gotta have something to show for your for your grind, for your campaign. Like, that's just bare minimum. You never want to be saying, oh, I do this, I do that, and you can't pull out a business card, or they can't look you up on a website, or, you know, see something that's valid for you. And also, like, I look at it like, if you're pushing, especially if you're independent and you ain't got nobody pushing for you that's hired to do so or invest in you that way, you got to use those opportunities. You got to leave stuff behind that people can that's tangible, you know, like, just simply just going out with a bunch of flyers on you. You know, each person you meet, you get, you know, you just casually out in New York or something and you bring 1,000 flyers, that's 1,000 potential people to check you out. You know what I'm saying? They might not all check you out, but you've left some kind of presence there. You know, that's what you got to reach as many people as possible. And some people look at it like, I got to strike it big and I got to, you know, get 1 million views on YouTube, and that's cool, but
yeah, everybody's looking for the shiny suit,
right? The quick come up. It's like
it doesn't work like that.
Yeah, a lot of times when you hear about people and they hit that big move, it's been a lot of little moves that led up to that.
Yeah, they've been having stuff out. We right. just haven't heard of them. Till they just all of a sudden they got heck of shares and right. somebody it ran across somebody you know. Page and now you peeping it out, you know what I'm saying, and probably gave it about 2 or 3 views, you know what I'm saying?
Right, it add up, you know, yep. Like every little thing counts. Like you gotta start somewhere. So, it's like never underestimate the small moves that lead to the big moves. Like I got folks that hit me from 7-8 years ago. Like, oh, I just found your CD in my car, and like it was under the seat, and I just remembered how much I liked it. Or some people be like, I never actually listened to it, but I found your flyer and I looked up your video and I liked this, and that might be from 5-6 years ago. You know what I'm saying? It's real like that, but you gotta believe like that. You gotta see it first before anyone else gonna see it. Yeah. You gotta vision it. Every time you look at it like, oh man, like these fools don't care until I sign with, you know, Dr. Dre, or you know, till I sign with Young Money. Like you selling yourself short, because you wanna have your own fan base, and you wanna, by the time you get that big look, you wanna have a strong foundation underneath that. You don't wanna just depend on the big look and then nobody vouch for your, you know what I'm saying? You want people to be like, man, I remember seeing that fool, like, you know, ciphering in the battle like 10 years ago. He been raw. Like, you know what I'm saying? You got to work your way up, pay your dues. So don't underestimate those times and those moments. They really the most precious moments. Like, you know, like I was in Oregon. I was on tour with the Bronx Legends Tour. I was the only Bay Area rapper on the tour. Oh, also my homie Jindor from San Jose was on the tour. But it was Busy B, Percy P, and Coke LaRock, who was one of Kool Herc's first MCs before CDs, and like when you just did it like right on the spot. Like there's no album or nothing, no Glory, no record deals. We toured with them and it was amazing. And we went to Portland, and one of my fans from out here from way back, my underground days, when I had this album called The Little Malcolm EP when I was living in San Jose. That's the one I dropped in Japan before I dropped it out here. And she came and brought me a copy of it and a copy of two of my early mixtapes before I had like artwork on and sleeves inside. It was just burned CDs with stickers on them. And she brought them to the show backstage and brought them to me and was like, you know, I don't know if you still got copies of these, but like, you should take these and burn them and put them online for some of your newer fans so they can see some of your like your original stuff. And so those type of experiences are dope. I'm looking at the CD like, what? I was actually selling these? Like, these look super ghetto, but hey.
But see, like, this was, you know, I get a little upset. Well, I don't get upset, but it's like, why be bougie, right? As far as, say, like, studios and, like, your CDs and stuff.
Right.
That means you was grinding, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. And then, okay, you see them little memes online. Folks be like, I'm at the studio, come through. And it be like some old rigged up little stuff, you know,
right,
what I'm saying?
Sock on the mic.
And you know, all that,
little
right?
Little closet with egg cartons for the soundproof. That's real, though. That's
real people grind. making fun of it.
Right. Because they don't know some of the biggest hits they ever heard, man, was made in studios
do
like
you
that.
You know how I be looking at some of the little stuff they be clowning. I'm like, man, back in when I first was, you know, around music and stuff, you know what I'm saying? Now, man, that was like a big studio to us.
Right.
You
right.
know, because, okay, now we got something to work with.
Right, because now everybody... The beauty of now is, like, everything's equal playing, because everyone has a laptop, everyone got a phone, everyone can have a studio. Like, it ain't like back when we was coming up, you really know, only the biggest baller in town could own a studio, and it had to be, like, super plush. Nobody was paying you to come to no, you know, wax studio. So it was like a stronghold on creation, because you had to have the money or the clout to even get studio time. And so now, all you need is a laptop, a mic, an interface, and a program, and you in. And you can upload it straight to the internet and have an album out tomorrow. Like,
yeah,
you don't have
right
to have
tomorrow.
No release dates, no promo, just, hey.
It's out.
It's out, and you then, can release it.
And next thing you know, 10 days later, it might hit. Now you rich.
Right, and you could just, like, before you had to actually meet a celebrity in person in rap form or something. Like, now you could just tweet Snoop Dogg and, like, you know what I'm saying, blow up his Twitter with a song or something. Like, or say, hey, man, I'm trying to reach out, do a feature. And, like, you might not get hit back, but it's very possible. So they can see your post just like they see everybody else's. So now the to reach out to someone that you need to know is, like, at your fingertips. Just at your phone, you could just, like, tweet Russell Simmons or, like, you know what I'm saying? It's crazy like that. Like, ain't no...
And what it is, nothing's exclusive no more.
Right.
And, like, you know, I remember Jay-Z said I guess it was the Vibe or something, back in the days, he was like, being a rapper ain't even fresh no more. It ain't
right,
fly
it ain't
no
the
more.
Cool thing to do no more.
Yeah.
It's too watered down.
It's like, well, he was just, well, probably that, and it was just like, it's too many people doing it now.
Yeah.
You know?
Like,
so
back in the day, if you said you rap.
Too much competition that right. I look at, as he was saying, but you
right,
know,
you
but,
got some old CEO that's a grandfather that's a Fortune 500 president making millions, dropping videos, talking about grandpa's lit, and it got 3 million views, and he more famous than, like, a real rapper from the hood that's really grinding.
And when you say views, it's like, now, when we was coming up, we had to brag about people bumping, you hearing your stuff bumping in people cars or wherever, people bumping it, or, you know what I'm saying, your stuff selling.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Now cats is bragging about views.
Right.
And then,
right.
You know, I look at it like, okay, views is nothing, but it's something, because you got to get a million people, or not even a million, half the time it's not even a million people that looked at it. It's just
right,
maybe more, but, you know, cats may have played it 10 times, maybe five, so let's say 5,000 people played it.
Right.
You know, quite a lot of times, because it's their favorite songs or whatever.
Right.
You know, everything all adds up.
Yeah.
But, you know, views is the thing now. That right. is the new.
And you could doctor that too. So it's like, it's so, well, it's so robotic now. Like, people will look at your video, and before they even look at it, they look at the views. And then before they even see if they like it, they like, oh, you ain't got that many views. Or, oh, you got hella views. Okay. And then you might get a deal off, like, you sit down with a record company now, the first thing they're going to go over is your social media. They might not even look at your live shows, or, like, how many CDs you sold or whatever.
Because the social media, that's the new outside. That's the new going outside.
Right.
And
right.
It's what
in
it is
in some ways
now.
It's good, but in some ways it's kind of artificial.
Well,
it can be.
Well, it's just how things are now. You know, once dude came with the Napster, you know.
Right.
That's when the whole game changed. Even though there was albums selling still when he first came out, he even got an award on MTV
right.
back in the days. You know, and I think Dr. Dre
right.
and Snoop had to give it to him and
right.
present it. But, yeah, when Napster hit, the internet, everybody just really start peeping, like, dang, I can make money off this internet thing. I
right.
just got to figure out how to, you know, come up with a like a MySpace or like a, you
right.
know what I'm saying?
Well, at first it was taboo. Like, the record labels was terrified. They was trying to stop all that. And, like, they was like, oh, no, nah, we got to hide our, we got to hide everything. We can't let nothing leak. We got to keep it so when the release day come, everybody got to buy it. But then it's like, now cats damn near release stuff like, they give stuff out for free just to leak it, just for promotion now. And then they'd be like, oh, that's just a single. Now the album dropped. So it's like,
yeah, see,
cats is just dropping free mixtapes, and they all real songs, like whole albums, but they like, it's a free mixtape.
Yeah, because every
competing like that, like, cats will be like, oh, Gucci just dropped 5 mixtapes in one day, and then 2 Chainz will drop like 7. And it'll be like, oh, man, like, whoa. I got all the mixtapes. I got every album. And that buzz build them up. And then the album drop. And then the buzz so big, it's like, okay, now the album drop. And it's all good. Like, it's good promotion.
Yeah, like,
You can't live off record sales no more. That's well, a dinosaur
no,
idea.
No, you could if it's selling. See, that's the thing. You can't live off streams unless you sell.
Nah, that's chump change.
Yeah, you know, I think, what is it? I forgot how much for the YouTube, a million hits. But, you know, if the million hits is coming within a month, you know what I'm saying? You basically, that's a real job. That's you getting
I mean, it's cool.
But you got to be hitting.
Cause it's, but I think overall, like, for artists, even the rich artists, I feel like the record sales part of it has become chump change. That's like really it's a catapult to do the other stuff. It's the catapult for the publishing, the merchandise, and selling the lifestyle, and for other business opportunities. Like, when Jay-Z drop an album, I'm sure he makes more off what the album does in terms of putting him out there and putting his brand out there and the visibility. But I'm sure the check he get off the sales, like, he damn near don't even, he be like, all right, just pay me, like, the money up front, and I'll give the album away. Like, that's what he did with that one album on the phone. Which album was that?
No, see, he didn't give it away.
No, he gave it, he got paid by the phone company, and then he made it so when you buy the phone, it's on there already.
Yeah, see.
And so he don't care what it sold. But look, that publishing, though,
look,
that's where the bread at.
See, and he nibbled off every phone that came out. So, yeah, they gave him some bread.
Exactly.
They didn't give him all the bread.
And right.
He's like, man, just give me a couple, whatever.
Right.
Because he know the phone's going platinum.
Of course.
The phones are going to go platinum way faster than an album.
Right.
Just like, you know.
And so does the shirt.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And stuff moves, man.
Right, but if you independent, like, okay, when you go on tour and you got, like, you know, you an independent type of rapper with like you know, like, say, like Immortal Technique. I've been on tour with him. He got the whole table out with like a whole store worth of merch, and it's all getting sold. Those CDs sell, but I'm talking about like yo iTunes. Like, all that, like, it's cool, but I don't think that's the bulk of the earnings anymore. Like, you know what I'm saying? You might benefit, like what Chance the Rapper did. He was putting his stuff out free on SoundCloud, then capitalized on the publicity. You want to be heard. You want people to be on you. Like, then you can make all type of money. But if you just holding on and you unknown and you thinking you just going to sell a gang of iTunes sales, people don't even want to own music no more. They damn near just want to stream it. They go,
well, see,
my fans ask for Spotify first. They don't ask for iTunes no more.
Well, they got iTunes streaming. But all that still adds up from single sales. Just people out there that's buying singles. You know, there's people streaming every day. You know what I'm saying? They listen to Spotify. All that adds up, you know.
It
what
adds
saying?
Up for sure. You gotta diversify your
it's
income.
Not, you know,
but it can't be the bulk. It ain't like when
you
sell 250,000 units and you get paid up front from the distributor. They cash you out up front, then they resell them in retail. It ain't that like those days no more.
No.
Ain't even no record stores no more. That was a lick back in the days. That's before I even got deep in the game like that. If you had a fan base, you didn't have to go platinum. You was getting that check, and they going to resell them and get that 10, 15 for them, but you get paid up front. And the Bay was milking that. That's why Baycast was dropping 7-8 albums a year. They get cashed out up front. They don't care what they sell in the store. They just care how much they sold up front. Okay, I get this store 10,000 of them, and then do what you want with them. Just cash me out. You feel me?
Oh, yeah. I know a lot of people that was doing that.
Right. You can't move. It's a new hustle now. I think the new hustle is put it out on iTunes, put it out, distribute it through the streaming systems, then have your merch ready and have your video and just have hella songs and hella projects. And they streaming everywhere. They, you know, people getting a song here, song there, album here, album there. It's not like when you just did one album and had all the hype in the world for 1 year And then everything come from going 10 times platinum and all that. It's like little by little. Like, it's crazy, man. But it's some good things about that. You know, it's less middlemen. It's less people holding the keys now. It's more, you can do a lot more on your own. But that the side effect of that is you got a lot of people flooding the market and devaluing it, you know. It's more to sift through.
Well, see, the thing is, you just have to be you instead of trying to, you know, sound like everybody. When you be you, then you catch attention. You know what I'm saying? I see a lot of cats online. You know, they catch my attention. Like, okay, let me check this out. You know, I hit them up like, hey, man, that was hot. You know what I'm saying? I want to play it on my show.
Right.
You know, and they either send it or, you know, I don't hear from them for a minute, back from them for a minute, and, you know.
Right.
It's all about just being yourself. Because, you know, I noticed that, you know, coming up, listening to music, even from back in the old days and, you know, listening to the R&B and the soul and, you know what I'm saying? Cats that was kind of they self, even though they may had a song that sounded like somebody else, they still had their own posture.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And all you got to do is just be yourself. People going to recognize it.
Well,
you know
I think it depends because, like, you can still sell by, you know, going with the trends, but it depends on your goal or how you trying to move because, like, One thing record labels always did, when one thing hit, we all know this, the record labels would scramble and try to get the next thing that sound like that. So some of the imitators would win a little bit off of that, just coming with the same kind of vibe or the same kind of move, like, you know, little trend that's going on. It's like, all right, the radio's is into this right now. But, like, that don't mean you got to sound like nobody else. But it can be a thin line. Like, you might have a beat from, say, Pharrell, and then that's his sound's hot right now. So another rapper, he don't rap the same as the other guy, but he still got a Pharrell song with a Pharrell vibe. And that's hot to the radio right now, and that's hot to the labels. Like, you come to the label, say, I got a hot single with Pharrell and Kendrick right now. You know, and it sounds kind of like what sounds good right now. Like, it sounds kind of like in the Drake vein or the Travis Scott vein. It's going to work right now as opposed to if you just came out right now sounding like Run DMC-like style. Then it's like, but I get what you're saying. But my point of I'm making is it's a lot of good artists who original and they got good music and they sound different, but they don't have no campaign. And that's not going to work unless somebody, unless it's like the fairy godmother comes and says, hey, you get lucky. And they say, hey, I love what you do. You don't got to lift a finger. I'm just going to take care of all the business. That's, you know, some artists get lucky like that. But if you trying to grind on your own and make it on your own just off being talented, you got to still learn about the campaign itself and how to make it work. You got to find a way to make stuff work. Like some people think, okay, I need to go and make a hit, or I need to make 100,000 songs until I find the right one. I think that if you good and you got talent and you making something that's quality in general, you know, like if you focus, if you got 5 songs and you really focus on those 5 and doing something with them, it can happen. Like, but a lot of artists you see, they don't do that. They put out 5 songs, and then if it don't pop, they don't really have a plan. It don't pop right away. They just like, oh, it didn't work, and then they jump to the next thing. But they never really gave it a chance. They never really invested in those songs or in the campaign for those songs. So I think that's a big part of it, and that's why now it's so important, because you don't necessarily need every, like, entity to be behind you to cause a buzz. So, like you said, if you are original, you do got something dope. You got Facebook. You got SoundCloud. You don't need a label to put your music on Spotify. Like, you can campaign, like, a lot easier than it used to be. And if you know how to do that and put some effort into it, you know, like, one song can take you really far. You know what I'm saying? So that's my thing. Like, people got to learn how to either you hire somebody to get your campaign right, or you learn how to campaign. Not just, you know, oh, the industry ain't this and the industry ain't that. It's a lot of good artists that make it too, and make it, and the industry get behind them. And it's a lot of whack ones, but I bet you those whack ones knew the business, or they had somebody behind them that knew the business. That can be the difference right there between, you know, being a legend or having a hit and just kind of being the best kept secret. Some people that keep themselves secret, they not out meeting people. They not. So I know people with pages and they have sites and Instagram and, you know, Facebook, but they don't use them. They think they're too good. They're like, oh, I got music. Somebody need to come find me. And hey, good luck. You know what I'm saying? Good luck.
Yeah, you definitely gotta
get out
the,
there.
The, you know, the new going outside is the internet. You know, you gotta be on Facebook. Facebook is the new outside, and right. Everybody's page is somebody's house.
Yeah.
You know, you gotta look at it like that. And you know, while you on somebody's comments or whatever, you at their house chilling.
Right.
Talking shit, you,
right.
You know, but you gotta, the thing is right now is have your social media presence real high. You know, you gotta be on all these sites.
I mean, why not? Like, it's free promo. It's there. It's, if you use it creatively, it's there for you. I always say do both and have them work together. Be outside for real and have that reflected on the internet. So, like, it's, if you just only on the internet, you know, it might not have the same impact because people ain't never touched you or really had nothing to vouch for. But if, you know, if what you putting out on the internet, people seeing it in real life too, it can have a double whammy. You know, I wouldn't suggest. I know people old school, they like, I don't do the internet. I don't do all that, man. Like, that's, I don't trust it. Hey, you missing out.
Man,
missing out.
Man, I knew a cat that, you know, I did a few songs with. You know, I was like, you know, you need to get on the internet and, you know, promote stuff we done did together, whatever.
Right.
Oh, I don't do that. I don't mess with the internet. I don't mess with the internet. And
right.
I'm like, how you going to get heard? That's
missing
the new
out.
Thing. And that was, a few years back. You know what I'm saying? And I'm like, man, it's the new thing, but you need to put your music out, you know? Oh, I don't do the internet. I don't do the internet. You got songs. Just put them on a free site. Let people hear it. You know, you're not doing nothing with the music. You're just letting it sit, collect dust.
Yeah, that
you
ain't
know?
Gonna work.
And but you can get on a site where you know, women on and be trying to flirt with them all day.
Right.
I'm like, all that trying to get them, okay, is you sharing your link with them?
Right.
Because if I'm on a site like that and doing music, okay, I might flirt with them, but I'm going to be giving them my link, like, check my music out.
Right.
There's a whole lot of women on there. They're going to be curious, hitting you up. Send
Hell
a link.
Yeah.
They click on it, you know.
It's funny to me, like, I got on the social media early, and I studied it just to use it for promo more than socially, because I was already out and about, so I never needed it to hold me down socially. But it kind of, like, came together the same way, because I was already outside and doing shows and touring and, like, promoting hand-to-hand and, you know, campaigning, doing street team work, putting out flyers, posters. Like, I was versatile with my push in the campaign. But, you know, that translated to social media easy for me. So I never had to really build a social media following because I had the real following and I had the real, like, network already. So once it got to the point where, all right, now you can siphon all your contacts from this email to all your Facebook and then add everybody you had in email. Now that every phone number in your phone, you know, they'll give you their Instagram page automatically. So that's an automatic connection in your phone already. And it'll give you that email. You know, you got text message now. And so it's all evolved together. If you know, understand one social media page or how it worked, you know they all copy each other. Like the Snapchat story came, no, like now that Snapchat came out with the story, then Instagram and Facebook adopted the story. And that's the most popular way to push right now, through story. People be posting on their page, yeah, that's cool, but more people follow stories now. So I be tripping because, like, I be talking to artists and I mentioned something like Snapchat. And so it's one artist told me, he said, man, Snapchat's for kids. I don't do Snapchat. I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, you know how popping Snapchat is? Like, for if you use it right? But it's, like, all on how you use it. Like, are you just snapping selfies? Are you just snapping your picture of your dinner? Or are you using that same, you got 1,000 friends on Snapchat. They all come in through your other social media networks. Like, why ain't you dropping your flyer? Why ain't you dropping, you know, your website on there? Like, it's crazy to me. Like, I don't understand it because I just feel like some people just got wool over their eyes. They only see being an artist one way. And that kind of, to me, it's another art in how you present your art and how you make the art translate. It's important. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you got a radio station that plays mostly underground 90s classic hip hop, don't bring them no, you know, ratchet trap music. Like, that's not, don't blame the station. You not, go find that station and bring them that music. You know what I'm saying? But, like, some people just don't get it. Like, they don't know how to work themselves into the flow. Like, you got to think. Like, be creative. Like, for instance, we all know Oakland is full of liquor stores. And unfortunately, like, people frequent liquor stores. It's a social kind of norm. You know, people pull up and pass through. So if you want to get known in Oakland, why ain't you taking a box of flyers and just every time you go in a liquor store to grab a candy bar or, you know, a soda or whatever, some juice, some coconut water, whatever you're getting, you're going to grab some bread for your mom, whatever. Leave a stack of flyers in there. Is you too good for that? That's easy. Like, why would, but then some people too good. They're like, nah, I'm just going to the store. Well, me, I'm never just going to the store. I'm always on the clock. You feel me?
Well,
I'm at Great America I'm at the amusement park with my daughters with a stack of flyers just in case. I might not be standing there passing them out, like, but I might run into someone like, hey, don't you got a new album? Oh, here you go. Like, here's the flyer in my back pocket. Don't trip. Don't ask no questions.
Well, you got to look at it. It's like, it's different drives. You know, like, I know a lot of people that say, oh, man, I want to, you know what I'm saying, come rock with you, be on your show, and woo, woo, woo. But, you know, they don't slide through.
Right.
Or, you know, oh, man, I need to blow up, or I need to, you know, I need to get my music out there.
Right.
Well, you know, come through, you know.
Right.
Cats don't come through, and, you know, wonder why nothing ain't hitting right now.
Right.
Well, you got to get out and promote it. You know, like you said, you might have over 1,000 people on your Instagram or your social media.
Right.
And all they got to do is see you in there on the mic. Yeah,
right.
I'm at the radio station. Ooh. That's letting them know that now they're believing.
Right.
Because you got to look at it.
Right.
You look at the movies that came out talking about the old school, like, what was that, the main hit, Five Heartbeats?
Right.
They kids, youngsters, they song on the radio.
Right.
And other little old school movies where they was at work or wherever and they song came on the radio. It was exciting.
Right.
And, you know, a lot of people be excited that they stuff on the radio.
Right.
Now, it can be on the internet. Okay, that's on the internet. Everybody gets on the internet, but
right.
Can anybody get on live air?
Right.
You know, that's a different feeling.
Exactly.
A different, you know what I'm saying, a different motivation.
Right.
And because if you tell somebody, turn to the radio, I'm on the radio.
It's exclusive.
And they're like, wow, how did you get on the airwaves, you know?
Right, right.
So, you know.
But it's like, it's just, you gotta like it's, and even like you said, you tell somebody to come through the radio, right? They might be like, all right, I dropped you this song, and then you played it that night, and they did an interview, and now they think it's gonna blow up because it's a good song. Man, it ain't just coming to the radio once. It might be, you might be like campaigning and networking with that DJ for a year with different songs, or, you know, like you might drop, you might be in touch with the DJ over a 2-year period and then drop them like 7 different singles. And then they might have played the first 3 or 4 one time, but then by the 5th one, they so used to you and they comfortable with you, and, you know, y'all done, you know, ran into each other here and there, and now they starting to look at your page a little more. They like, oh, this one, the 5th one might be the one. And they like, oh, man, I'm putting this in rotation. I'm going to play this all the time. I'm about to call him, and I got a show coming up. I'm about to call him and have him rock. Or, like, you know what I mean? Like, people don't look at the opportunity. Not saying they don't, but the artists who going to make it, they got to, you got to, or anything in life, not just music, you got to see the opportunity. You got to use your imagination, and you got to will it into existence. You got to make things happen. Like, you gotta keep pushing through that barrier that's not there. It's not really there. You know what I'm saying? It's like if you wanted a job back in the day, you keep coming up there. Hey, I need a job. What can I do? Can I sweep the floor? What's up? Can I take out the garbage? That's how you gotta do it. That's how life works. You gotta campaign. Anything you do. Like, if you send off an application to a college and they reject you, you know what I'm saying? You send off to like 10 more colleges, and, you know, you might say, well, that's my dream. I'm going to try again. I'm going to try next year. You just can't expect things to just happen overnight. You know what I'm saying? Like, I used to go with one song, you know, thinking, oh, I'm the shit, to a DJ, like, man, play this. You ain't playing this because you hating. You ain't up on this. And they hear it. They're like, that's cool. But they get 100 songs a day. And so, like, you know, say they played it then and let me do an interview. That's just one interview on one station. Like, since then, I've done hundreds, thousands of interviews. And I can say that a lot of stations now, they find my music and be supporting it. I might not even really have hit them, like, hella times about it. Like, I might just send it once. And they're like, oh, that's D. LaBrie. He got a good rapport with us. He's been coming around. He's been dropping quality music over the years. You know, his, you know, not, I'm not just saying for me, but if the DJ or the person see, okay, I know he got his campaign going. I know my energy ain't wasted by getting behind this. Like, people notice that. They say, okay, you got your, I know he got an album coming out. He gonna be touring. He got a website. Like, people won't gonna get behind you more the more you behind yourself. If you come through and you got a song and you, they like, all right, so what's your Facebook? Or what's your, you know, what's your SoundCloud? What's your YouTube? It ain't about the views. Do you have one? You know what I'm saying? Do you even have you even thinking about these things? And you come in and you say, hey, I got 4 shows coming up. The DJ gonna be more likely to get behind your product. Like, you know, so we all gotta start somewhere. I'm not knocking artists who just starting and who maybe ain't got to that point yet. But if you say one dimensional, it's gonna be harder for you. Like, it's really a learning experience to realize you in this game, but you more than just a talented rapper. You have to embrace the whole journey. And you gotta learn some other parts of yourself. You gotta learn some other skills that are humbling. Like, you get in it to rap and be famous, but passing out them flyers ain't always in the heat in Vegas, ain't always the glamorous experience. But I bet you it gets you more fans. I bet you it gets you more known in Vegas than sitting in your hotel room wasting money on bottles and just, you know, like wasting money at the strip club. I bet you standing in front of Walgreens with, you know, 1,000 CDs will get you more known, or get you more shows, or get you more radio play, more sales, even more fun, probably, because you're going to get invited, you're going to meet more females, or if you're a female, you meet more men, whatever. You're going to have more fun if you actually campaigning than if you just wasting time, you know?
Yeah.
Even if you're a party animal, you pop bottles and all that, you could still be at the club popping bottles with flyers and product on you. That's no excuse. Or with websites up, something. You know, you could have your brand sticker on the bottle. Mm-hmm. Everybody drink up. Toast up your glass. Let me get a picture and put it on the website.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's ways to stay active. But those are the little things that separate, you know, the hungry from the starving, because somebody is thinking like that. Somebody's like, man, we about to go out and get a whole bunch of strippers and have a party, but we finna wrap these vans and pass out like 1,000 CDs, and we gonna pay a street team to campaign it, and we gonna do a little internet campaign, and we gonna turn this party into promotion. And some people thinking like that, and they're getting their money's worth. Some people not.
Yeah, it's like you got to utilize the moment.
Every moment.
Every moment.
Because it's going to be something you can't utilize and something you're going to miss. But if you at least trying, you're going to reach more than the people that's just sleeping and just kind of letting every moment pass. You know, you gotta jump to it. Time is ticking.
Yeah, you know. And speaking of time is ticking, you know what I'm saying? We almost at the end of the show. We still got some more time. But, and you know, like I was saying, speaking of time is ticking, cats nowadays, people attention is kind of short now when it comes to music and videos and people's product. Like, you know, I was talking to one cat, and I was like, what do you think about, you know, putting something out? He got projects coming out, but he's going about the old way. Like, okay, next year I'm going to put this project out.
Mm-hmm.
Project already done and everything.
Right.
I'm like, you know, you kind of got to put something out. You know, something, at least a single.
Yeah, people are hungry for content for sure.
A couple of singles off the project. Then put the whole album out.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, record releases is done. There ain't no reason no more. You might as well put it out and just start campaigning while it's out.
Well, I mean, you can campaign before you put it out. But, you know, it's like you kind of got to drop stuff, you know? And plus, I tell cats all the time, like, you know, you got all this old music just sitting on your hard drive, just collecting dust.
Right.
Going to put out, you know, some volumes, the lost tapes. So,
yeah, of course.
You know, be creative with the name of it. You know what I'm saying?
Rebrand it.
Yeah, you know.
And then if you got something new out.
This is old. People looking for the old stuff.
That's silly. But see, if they like your new stuff, they're going to go look for the back catalog.
Exactly. And old stuff.
Your old stuff shouldn't be whack anyway.
Yeah.
My old stuff's still dope. So, like, I don't know why people be acting like, you know, I mean, yeah, stuff gets dated or whatever. You might have a different fan base that's in the different time frames. But, like, you know, it shouldn't be something that, like, and I mean, if this is just your, like, your playing around rough drafts, that's different. But if these is real songs, they just, you know, they just not current. Some people don't know that. And it don't matter.
I'm going to tell you
if
like
it's dope,
this.
It's dope.
I'm going to tell you like this. Rough drafts, playing around. Say like cats from our generation. And back when, from our generation, when cats first started rapping. You know what I'm saying? That was mid-90s and early 90s. You know what I'm saying? So they can be telling cats, man, oh, I started back in woo-woo-woo. Oh, man, you ain't start back then.
Right.
You got
right.
proof. You know right. what I'm saying? It's documented that you was doing your thing back then. You know what I'm saying? And that's valuable to cats right now.
Right.
You know, if you know they be like, oh man, that's old, man, that's old stuff. Man, that's showing that you've been doing your thing.
Oh yeah, that stuff resurfaced. People love to see that. But especially like if you throw it in a documentary or in a video, a music video. Everything has its place at some point in time. That's why you got to think ahead. Like, you know, I always say rep, don't try to be hot, try to have relevance, try to have purpose. I never tried to be hot. I mean, I don't mean don't be current. You got to keep up with stuff. But, like, if you always looking at, for the legacy of it or the, you know, the long-term view of it, it might take longer at the moment to build it. But once it's in motion, it's harder to shatter it. But when you get hot and you just trying to be high and you go straight to the top off one little hype and you ain't got no foundation under it, that falls quicker and forever. It's hard to rebounce back from that. Like Vanilla Ice, he was hot. Like, he came hot with the little MC Hammer imitation. And for a moment, he was the hottest thing for a moment. And then, you know, he got folks made him sign back over the song he stole. And, like, now he building houses. Like, and he's still a legend in hip-hop somewhat in the sense of, like, in a parody sense. And, like, you know, everybody's, like, forgiving him for that. But, like, I'm just saying that's just an example. How hot he was didn't last. Like, maybe you could say he's still a one-hit wonder considered, like, because of that. But he never really heard no new music. He can't reinvent. He never got to really reinvent past that. Now he's kind of, like, stuck as a legend in that moment. But, like, if some artist, like, say, like a Tech N9ne, he got probably over 50 albums. And it started off slow. Maybe, and like little by little, you know, his fan base grew. And maybe back then he didn't have that one big thing pop off, like that just set him like straight up to the top immediately in 1 year or something. But like over time, he's just built this huge legacy. Now they're calling him the number one independent artist of all time. And, you know, back then, you know, everybody was feeling him, but I don't know if people really anticipated that. But slow and steady, with purpose. And he's pretty much stuck to his thing, you know, but the fans have grown with him. So it's like slow and steady, you know, just consistency. It takes a smart person to do it, and it takes a good team. And it does take a little luck, and it does take talent, but it's not impossible. It's not rocket science. It's not. Sometimes I think the majority of ways to lose is just stopping or just, like, limiting what you do and, like, stopping the process. Sometimes it's just you just burnt out. You just like, man. Like, from the Buffalo Bills, he just quit at halftime. With Vontae something. He just said, man, I'm done, and went home at halftime last week for the last Sunday when they played. And, like, his team was like, what happened? Like, you couldn't even tell us? Sometimes I see rappers fall off like that, too. They just – something happened. You know, they move to a different city. Like, they get another job that's more comfortable. You know, they get a kid, have a kid, or get new girlfriend.
I haven't seen cats back in the days. You know what I'm saying? They'll be – you know, they be rolling, music sounding good, they about to get it popping or whatever. Something happens. Somebody, a member, go to jail, or
right.
Somebody have a kid, or somebody, like you said, get a job, and now they making money. They ain't tripping off rapping no more or trying to sell CDs, cause now they got a job that's
right.
Bringing them money for show money. So they ain't tripping off it no more.
Right.
And then there's cats in the, like, say, like, if you're in a group, you know, okay, y'all in the group, okay, you got a job, you ain't tripping no more.
Right.
What about the music y'all did?
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
That's how you test people's, like, real, real passion for it, because it's, you're going to get humbled by this game. I don't care who you are. You come in rich, poor. You come in with talent, no talent. If you're going to make it to a certain point, you're going to be humbled at some point. And some people can't take that. Like, when they facing too many embarrassing moments as opposed to the glamorous moments, some people just ain't that. They just got more too much pride, and their pride overrules their passion for it. And I don't think it's nothing wrong with that. Like, that's a natural process. Like, it's just sometimes it's easier. And even the most passionate artists can have moments like down moments, like, you know, life tragedies and, you know, death in the family. Like, I've definitely had periods where I just couldn't mess with the music industry, or, you know, I disappeared for a while or didn't drop nothing, or, you know, whatever. Like, that, you know, Lauryn Hill, people like, why she didn't drop new music and da-da. It's so much to that story that people that never did music could never imagine. But it happens, and it's not
babies and stuff.
Yeah,
and
life happens.
Married to Marley.
Yeah, and different things happen in your where you at in life, spiritually and mentally, and, you know, situationally. And so, like, I can't always. I tell people, like, you can't just get in it for the glory. Like, that's like, you know, you a dude and you like, man, I want a girl like Beyonce or Rihanna or Halle Berry, and you just like looking at her beauty and like how much you would just do, be the best. Oh, if I got her, I'd just be the best husband ever, and we'd have 10 kids.
And they don't understand that all these chicks got attitudes.
Or not even that. It's just like, it takes work. If you're going to have that level of the quality of, if you say you did get with Beyonce, it's not just all fun and games. Like, you can't just be there for when she glamorous and out the shower smelling like perfume. You need to be there when she's sick and got the flu. And when, you know what I'm saying, when she down, or when her album don't sell, or when she in a bad mood, or when she tripping, or when she like going through your phone, like you got to be there for the bad and the good. That's everything in life. You're not gonna just, you know, get super rich and not experience times where, you know, you might have to be super broke before you super rich, or if you can't enjoy just rocking for them shows where it's only four or five people, you know, you gotta take those times in the same way you take it when you blow and got like 20,000 people in the crowd. You gotta accept some humbling. Just like, you know, people be like, oh man, I ain't on because folks be hating. Man, Jay-Z is probably one of the most successful. One of the most successful rappers ever. It's still people that don't like his music. It's still people that hate on him, will never buy an album, and with probably people that do anything to take him down. But so what makes you think you above that? Like, it's going to be somebody who can't stand your music, who can't stand you, who when they see you probably will want to punch you in the face. Do you want to deal with that? Some people don't want to deal with that. You feel me? It's not fun to go to a club and you mind your business, and just because you dropped an album and a motherfucker girl think you cute, some dudes is coming up trying to punch you in the face. Like, that's some of those down times you gonna question if you want to do this shit. You feel me? But that's how you separate, you know, cats that's really in it for the long term and who not. It just is that way, you know? Sometimes I wake up and I'm like, man, I don't want to take no phone calls today. I don't want to talk about this show I got coming up. I don't want to rehearse. I don't want to go to the club tonight and sit around a bunch of drunk fools and talk about nothing. But, you know, sometimes you got to do it. It's just part of the game. Sometimes it's not even for the money. It's just part of the grind. It's part of the plan. You just got to get up, just like you get up and go to work for UPS or whatever company. Same thing. Sometimes you just got to go on the days you don't feel like it if you want to keep your job. So just lessons to be learned over time. Like, but it's all good. It's part of the process. You learn a lot about yourself. But people who think it's just going to be all like fun and games, I think it's their journey. And at some point, they have to go through it themselves to test their limits too. It's not for me to judge or for me to tell nobody, you know, when to quit or how hard to go. that's part of the fun of it. That part's up to you. How hard you gonna go? How much you gonna sacrifice to get where you want to get? You know. And that's the truth. That's the lesson in life. Period. 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 Point blank. Anything you do is like that.
Okay. Well, you know what I'm saying? It was great for you coming through on We Two Peas.
For sure.
You know what I'm saying?
Shout out to Lil Larry.
Right on.
Fam Bam.
And we're going to be back next episode. Peace.
Yeah. Oh, hold on.
Oh, go ahead.
Let me let them know. Check out the videos we got out. I got the video series for some of my Mr. Network projects. YouTube.com/DLABRI3. Check out the videos on the under. It Ain't Easy featuring San Quinn. That's the one we've been checking out LeBron and KD song, trying to figure out if they borrowed a little bit of our swag on that. You know what I'm saying? But check out that video. Tell us what you think. If LeBron's song sound like it, you know, we got Away We Go video, Maniac, some of my classic tracks. But yeah, subscribe to that. Follow me on Instagram, DLabrie, DLABRIE. You know, hit the Facebook. Yeah, Snapchat, DLabrie, EOG, and DLabrie.com. Check us out, man. Come hit up a show. Hit up the monthly at Legionnaire, third Thursdays. You know, check me out on the road when I come to your city, state, country, whatever, man. Tap in. DLabrie is signing out. Mr. Network. And Mr. Network 2 coming real soon. Check that out. Featuring all kind of cats, man. It's going to be a good one. Nup on there, Bun B, Stickman, Kung Fu Vampire, the whole RDV crew. It's gonna be a nice little follow-up. And I got a mixtape coming out to promote that. So check me out.